Today we read the story of Jesus' transfiguration on a mountaintop. This is a story which appears in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And whenever a story is repeated in Scripture, we know that it was important for the early church, telling us something crucial about Jesus' life. So listen for God's word to you from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountaintop by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Please listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Transfiguration is defined as a striking change in physical appearance. It can also refer to a striking spiritual change. So on the mountaintop at his transfiguration, Jesus experienced a striking change in his physical appearance. But it seems to me that the spiritual change belonged to his disciples. The scripture tells us that Jesus climbed the mountain with 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John. And when they reached the top, Jesus was transfigured in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as bright as light. And as if that wasn't hooey-wooey enough, Moses and Elijah appeared, talking with Jesus. And Peter, brash and impulsive, loving and loyal Peter, overcome with the moment, offered to set up tents for each one of them, a tent for Moses, a tent for Elijah, and a tent for Jesus. Peter was so human, so real in that moment, saying exactly the wrong thing because he didn't know what else to say, and he had to say something. And haven't we all done that at one time or another? Often over the years, biblical scholars and preachers, including me, have thought badly of Peter for this impulsive offer. But what if, rather than trying to fill an awkward silence, what if something else motivated Peter? What if he was trying to be kind, to offer hospitality? And what if, even if it was misguided, his offer to build 3 tents came with the best of intentions? The story goes on to say that while Peter was still speaking, a voice came from the heavens, from within a cloud. And the voice, God's voice, said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." If that sounds familiar to you, it is because these are the same words that God spoke at Jesus' baptism. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We celebrated Jesus' baptism on the first Sunday after Epiphany, and this celebration of his transfiguration marks the final Sunday after Epiphany, the final Sunday in the Epiphany season. These 2 stories are bookends. bookends to God's manifestation in Jesus. Epiphany is the season in which the light of the star and the light of Jesus shine bright. Transfiguration marks a transition in the lives of Jesus and of his disciples. Even before this event on the mountaintop, Jesus tried to warn his disciples of what was to come. In Matthew 16, just before today's reading, Jesus warned the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem, where he would suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. He foretold his death and resurrection, and he forewarned the disciples that if they wanted to follow him, they must take up their crosses. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The disciples were understandably shocked. They did not want to hear this. They could not internalize what he was saying. They could not and would not hear of it. Of course, Peter was the one who said out loud what they were all thinking. God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus gave them fair warning. He was honest about the road that lay ahead, and he was clear about what could happen if they followed him. And then he invited Peter, James, and John to climb the mountain with him where he was transfigured. It is so tempting to try to explain the transfiguration. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. We can try to reason our way through the details of this story to find some logical explanation to help us understand what happened. We can try, but that's not really how faith works, is it? What if rather than explaining it, we can only experience it? The closest I've ever come to a transfiguration was in seminary. Presbyterian seminarians are required to complete what is called clinical pastoral education, which is an internship as a hospital chaplain. My chaplaincy was at UCLA Medical Center, and I was assigned to the transplant unit of the hospital. Transplants, especially heart transplants, are miraculous. They make an immediate difference in the life of a recipient. It was such a privilege to witness these modern miracles, and I remember many of those patients and those visits. But there was one patient that I met that I will never forget. This was soon after she'd received a heart transplant, and she quietly and haltingly told me that she had a near-death experience during the transplant surgery. There was much about her story that will probably sound familiar to all of us. She saw the light, and she heard a voice speaking to her, and she had a choice to go into the light or to remain in her body, and she chose to stay in her body, in her life. There's no explaining something like this. I don't understand it. It's not my experience, it's not my story, but I heard it from the source, and I saw the effect that it had on her, and so I believed her then and now. It was a transfiguring experience for this woman with a brand new heart, a transfiguration for her family, and for everyone who heard that story. Have you ever heard this kind of story? Have you known this kind of miracle or had this kind of encounter with the Holy that left you changed forever? Something happened on that mountaintop. God's light shone on Jesus. God's voice came from a cloud affirming Jesus. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then Matthew's gospel added another line. God said to the three disciples and to us, "Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to the one who shines with the light, who shines like the sun. Listen to the Son of God, the Beloved. Listen to the one who is telling you what is to come. Listen. What does it mean to listen to Jesus right now? In this day and in this troubled time, what does it mean to be a disciple, to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus down the mountain and into Jerusalem? What did it mean for those disciples and for you and for me? Transfiguration Sunday marks the end of the season of Epiphany and the beginning of the season of Lent. It is a bridge. There is this lovely moment between Jesus and the disciples in the Transfiguration story. When God began to speak from the cloud, the text says that the disciples fell to the ground, overcome by fear, which was an understatement. They were terrified, afraid for their lives. The gospel goes on to say that Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Jesus came near, he touched them, reassured them, comforted them, encouraged them. In compassion and empathy, he loved them and brought them back to themselves. Jesus saw their suffering and he entered into it. The transfiguration did not change what was to come for Jesus or for the disciples. It did not change the realities of Jesus' world. But it did change the disciples. They knew and understood Jesus differently and hopefully better after that. Maybe it gave them the strength and the courage they needed to continue on with Jesus. And isn't that what we need right now? Strength and courage to continue to listen for Jesus' voice. Strength and courage to follow Jesus up the mountain and then down into the valley. Strength and courage to begin our Lenten journey. Strength and courage to continue to learn and to grow in this spiritual life. Like those first disciples, may we experience Jesus' reassuring and comforting touch, and may we hear him say to us, "Get up and do not be afraid." Amen.